I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.
So yeah, some breaking news, man. Again, I don't know how much you guys are aware with the Marvel Sony situation. Marvel want to make Spider-Man 4 a street level, sort of Kingpin related film.
Yep.
They want to go away from the multiverse thing and have a grounded Spider-Man film, which I think would be so dope.
Same.
We spoke about this before, me and you, actually. And then Sony want to bring back Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield and have another sort of multiverse Spider-Man film.
Yeah. Do you know what I actually want Sony and Marvel to do? I want them to approach the multiverse like differently. We had like a tiny bit of it, right? And some of it was really nice, and some of it, as we know, hasn't been fantastic. The theory of it is dope. You'd be like, oh my god, it's so cool that we can put these films together, like the X-Men and stuff, all the cameos that we've had have been wavy. But it would be so nice that if the multiverse could be approached differently, where it's like we can have three Spider-Men doing freedom films, you know, like if you were to bring back Garfield and you were to bring back Tobey Maguire, we don't need to be in each
same
film.
Right.
You can actually just let them have their own films. There's so many Spider-Man stories, right? Mm. And the fact that Marvel and Sony can have a relationship here means that Sony can actually use a lot of their rights that Marvel don't have, by the way, to do the classic Spider-Man stories
instead of giving us Madame Web.
Instead of giving us fucking Madame Web, right? Yeah. Give us like those traditional like stories, especially now where there's now an arch back, right? Pause. Okay, so there's now a way back to it, like, oh, they've just come back from beefing these man, and we've now got somewhat of a story between them two. He talks about how he lost Gwen, like he lost himself and blah blah blah, right?
Yeah, it was dope.
All that. So now we've got kind of a storyline like, to go back to. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Do that. Do like a ground level story about what just happened. That would be amazing. Why not even just build a whole verse in their own? Do you know what I mean? A whole phase like that. I think that's the way that the multiverse, in hindsight, obviously it's easy to say now, but in hindsight, should have been approached, where like these people can have their stories within their universes and breathe in that. Whereas Marvel did a thing where it was like, yes, you're in the universe, but you are very clearly connected.
Mm.
We don't want to know that they're connected until we need to know. You know what I'm saying?
Fairs. We are the Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14HQ original. Lovers of film and TV, I'm joined by my fellow co-host, the one and only Manuel Cobanza. How are you?
Woo! Good, my broski, yourself?
Yes, sir, here.
Whole cover, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's not the whole cover.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, man. I would never do that, you mud. and Hussam, how are you?
Very good, my friend, very good. I'm in good spirits today, good spirits.
Good.
What's the name?
Hey there, Delilah.
this is going to be a review of the 2024 Oscars. But before we do so, I've got a few things I want to discuss with the guys.
Mm.
I want to give listeners and viewers an opportunity to get to know us better. But before we do that, nice. I've got a pertinent question I want to ask you guys.
Okay.
I want to ask you guys about your thoughts about the recent discussion that I've been seeing anyway, and some of you may have been seeing as well, around influencers.
Boy, Afi.
Oh, doing interviews.
Influencers.
Junkets, interviews, and that kind of stuff.
Influencers, PRs, junkets, interviews, and the idea of journalists essentially in the space of film and TV being eradicated. It's been something that I've been seeing for the last couple of months anyway, and influencers have been doing this for a while anyway.
Yeah.
But I think with the recent Dune Part 2, and we saw Sam Thompson, I believe his name is.
He's everywhere, bro.
And he seems like a cool guy. So this isn't a slight on him. It's just what
he's
I think.
He's everywhere.
Him, and I saw Jeremy Lynch doing the Dune Part 2 screening. And I had interesting conversations with people.
Jeremy Lynch?
Yeah, Jeremy Lynch, footballer.
He done what, sorry?
Dune Part 2 junket.
Jeremy Lynch?
Yeah.
The footballer?
Well, footballer.
Footballer's a strong term. The freestyle footballer on YouTube.
Yeah.
Done a Dune Part 2 junket.
Yes.
Because he likes film.
Maybe.
He does. I saw his house tour thing. He's got like a cinema.
Oh,
but that's about it.
Yeah, thoughts on a quick segment on your thoughts on this sort of situation that has been apparent for a while, but I guess rose to the surface a few weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Okay. So it's hard because I've been on both sides of this, right?
No, it's not hard. It's insulting. I know what you're gonna do. The nice guy thing. I used to work in PR, so I understand to an extent that films need to sell, so you need to get people with status essentially to help promote a film. But also there needs to be a job done professionally in terms when it comes to doing junkets and talking to people that have spent time and effort putting a film together. So you know, you need people that put time and effort to ask these questions, to get a better understanding, because you're essentially a voice for people that haven't watched the film, for people that are not sure about the film. You're meant to be able to translate or have a conversation with the filmmakers or the actors and so on, whoever is involved in
or film. Even just make them feel more human.
Yeah, just to make it more understandable for the common consumer.
Exactly.
And if you are hiring people just because of the status and they're not necessarily doing that job particularly, then it's insulting to people that there's hundreds and thousands of people that will kill to have an opportunity like that.
Do you feel insulted?
Me personally specifically, no. I don't personally feel insulted specifically.
Well, we do.
Because I find it easy to remove myself from the situation.
Okay, don't remove yourself. Put yourself in the situation. How do you feel?
If the question simply is that we should be given more opportunities than certain people that are under there, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. It's, oh, no, for sure. Yeah. For sure. And that's like without a question. Like we've put like certain junkets in like for chat. And you know, and we've praised people, you know, like we put it in, okay, and been like, oh, yo, this person, you know, done well here, da 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 da. And we've put some in the chat where we've gone, what the hell was this? You know what I'm saying? And they've obviously just seen a big name, and said, oh, this is a great opportunity, and they've gone and just treated it as like a no interview. Whereas when we do that, okay, like guys, I don't know if you get this, okay, but the preparation that it takes us guys to do like a junket or a red carpet or that kind of stuff, okay, we're literally like researching, we're doing scripts, like we're writing things, like we're watching the film meticulously, we're trying to make the junket informative but fun at the same time as well. So you'll see us playing like games, but you'll also see us like having real conversations, you know. So like there's a lot of work that goes behind it. So seeing someone that's given the opportunity because they've got what higher numbers than us and they're not into film, we're just presenters or, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, it is very insulting in like that sense. That's with presenters, right? For me with like influencers, like Mang said, films have to sell, right? And it's, for me it's the PRs. It's their fault in that sense because they have to choose influencers that are going to kind of like live and breathe like or kind of like match what's going on, right? But like I saw, like, you know, I don't want to like name names, but yeah,
don't do that. It's
but
fine.
But for like the One Love,
Bob Marley
junket,
yeah,
they just got anyone with dreads.
Okay,
there was like four dons.
Okay,
with dreads, and it was like, bruv, but not even Jamaican. Okay, but obviously the people are just dumb. You get me? Like I don't know. Like it just seemed like the dumbest, like laziest casting of people to do a junket ever. You know, bear in mind there was people that did it and they were great.
What do you think we could do better?
I don't know, man. Like we've had this conversation a few times, isn't it? Like, just keep doing what we're doing. We have extremely diverse content. We take film and TV extremely seriously. We have professional and wide opinions. You know, we've come a long way, and I do think in the next, no, I think right now we should be like respected as like film and TV critics. In the same sense, we can do both. We can have fun and you know, be around. So I guess for us, what we can do better is just carry on doing what we're doing at a higher level, at a quicker pace, and just believe in our source.
Fair. There needs to be a lot more respect and thought into the craft of filmmaking.
Yeah.
So when you send people to have these interviews or have these conversations, like, would you be happy to know that them lot don't actually have cared that much about film or TV or know that much about film or TV? They're just there for the simple fact that they have a platform elsewhere and they have numbers. Now you want to give them this opportunity. Like, show a bit of respect to the filmmakers as well, because I'm sure they would love to speak to people that have an understanding of films or have a greater interest in film.
Or a curiosity, is it, I think when people, whenever I see some interviews with someone like Denny, I think he's someone, for example, that would be, if someone's curious to know what you did. So yeah. I may not understand X, Y, and Z, and I may not understand a particular choice for lighting or the cinematography. So that could be anything from lighting, color grading, the choice of lens that you use. If I'm curious to know why you chose that, I may not have an expert knowledge, but I'm asking you a question because I don't know.
Exactly.
And there's going to be, if I don't know, there's going to be other people that also don't have that same knowledge.
Exactly.
And I guess this is a space which it should be about curiosity and trying to learn.
That's a really good way to put it. And I actually think that all of these like influencers, their weaknesses kind of like show in these situations when it is the directors and the producers and that kind of stuff. You
know, the actors is easier to get by.
I think the actors is easier to get by because they're also playing like a role in the interview. You know, actually, we've been in situations, guys, with like some big actors in junkets where they're shocked about how much we know. You know, and they're shocked about how we present the questions and that kind of stuff. And then and that's because they've just gone through 9 interviews where they haven't been asked anything really about the film, you know, or they've been asked the same 9 questions.
Right.
But yeah.
Cool. Second question for the viewers to get to know us. We have to rank the Post-Credit Scene podcast for our communication skills. Who's the best communicator and who is the worst in our GC out of us 5? Best to worst.
In what regard? In the
up to you, yeah. Generally, communication in all.
So in the group chat and I guess in the studio and I guess when we're going to like red carpets, and screenings and that kind of stuff.
I don't think any of us are great. I can't lie to you.
I think if we're going to rank, I think I'm top.
No way.
I think I'm top.
Definitely not.
I think I used to be trash. Season 2. No, season 1. I think mid-season 2 to now, I think I'm top. I think I'm top. I think Gaz is second.
Do you think that comes with responsibility though?
Yes. I think I'm top out of default.
By what's it? By proxy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 Because I...
Do you not think you're top?
That's your business. I think I'm top. And then I think it's Gaz. I think he's the most responsive in that regard. And then I think it's Manny. Then I think it's Jace. And then Basola.
Basola's trash.
Basola's trash.
She's trash, you know.
Basola's trash, Basola's trash. Yeah.
And then she'll come and say, oh, I've got a party. Do you want to come? But she didn't want to invite us to Soflavsky, so.
A lie? To be fair, though, that seemed dirty, fam. I can't even lie.
Why?
What?
I don't know. I just see it bare. I was just like, it seems a bit ooey. Yeah.
You see it a lot right now.
What do you mean? Like, It's fine.
Like, I wanted to see more bougie. You know? It isn't bougie enough for me.
Are you bougie?
Nah, but I want that to be bougie now. It's called Soflavsky. Like I want it to be bougie looking. Like I wanted it to be like, ooh, like Kim K type holiday thing.
I really don't care for that type of content, bro. Why would you want people to look like that?
No, not look like that. I'm saying I wanted the aesthetic to be like that. Not people. Just
but the aesthetic.
The aesthetic. Yeah, I didn't.
Fairs, man. Fairs.
Like it looked like yeah. But anyways, yeah.
Looked like a good time.
Yeah, it did. It did.
I feel as though in our evolution as, again, I guess it's a phrase I like to use, lovers of film and TV, which I think we are now, and have been for a while, but I guess it's evolved and changed. It's not, we don't look at things the same as we did in terms of film and TV like we did 2 years ago when we started this off. This is our 3rd season. Reviewing an award ceremony wouldn't have been something we would have done 2 years ago or stayed up to watch it.
Yeah.
I might have caught like, bits results. Here the next day and that, whatnot.
So the results, or the clips. But yeah, I think we're going back and forth in the group chat talking about it.
Our outlook on it has changed on film and TV, which I think is cool. So we're going to do a review for the 2024 Oscars, which I'm really excited
for. And next year
we'll
be there.
Yeah. Inshallah?
Inshallah.
Yeah, is that how we... Is that, inshallah. Inshallah, yeah.
Also to everybody, Ramadan Mubarak to everybody. Okay, we're celebrating the month.
Oh yeah, it's so fast, isn't it?
Yeah. Broke fast at 6:02 today.
Can't. I'm feeling
that's
fresh.
That's a light one. It's a light one.
Good luck, bro. Okay.
The 96th Academy Awards. Really, really excited to delve into this one today.
How glamorous was it, though?
It was that?
It's beautiful, bruv.
But I've got one thing.
I don't think it was that glamorous, you know. Like,
seriously? No, it was the after pictures were.
Yeah, the after pictures were crazy, but in terms of like.
The award itself.
Yeah, the award itself. The way
bro, the first award.
What? Davan. Oh, we'll get relax. We'll get there.
Say that.
We'll
get there. Say that.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Say that.
Oh, before we start the pod properly, I feel like we need to give a big shout out to Akira Toriyama, the creator of the Dragon Ball franchise.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Rest in peace, my guy. Obviously, the godfather of modern shonen, created one of the most amazing and one of the most revered animes and mangas of all time. Essentially, anime wouldn't be as big as it is if it wasn't for his creation of Dragon Ball in the 80s. We probably wouldn't have anime like One Piece, Naruto, JJK, so on and so forth without his contribution. His contribution to gaming as well, his contribution to art in general. So rest in peace.
Rest in peace, man. That's a big one.
Yeah.
It's actually a huge one. I saw some stat about, because obviously a lot of anime creators like didn't get paid that much until like 400 eps in, do you know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. And like I saw a thing, okay, where it was like if he was to restart Dragon Ball now and make that and make like that many episodes, he'd be on like 400 mil. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Because stream services will just pick it up. And they just be like, yeah, cool. Whereas like at the time to get it into the UK, there was a lot of like illegal sites, blah, blah, blah. And then seasons would get like commissioned on certain channels. But to get ahead, you'd have to stream it.
Yeah.
Of course, I've got a task for you. If you won a Best Actor Award for Oppenheimer, what would your speech be?
Which role? Which role?
Supporting, or I'll give you Best Actor.
Best Actor. So I'm
you're Cillian.
Cillian.
Yeah, man.
Killian? It's actually Killian.
It's Killian. Yeah, you're right. Alright, cool. I'm Killian Murphy, I'm Huss. My speech would be
You're already in mode, innit?
I just can't believe this. Look, everything. You know,
what's the Irish accent?
I'm still me. Everything that I've gone through in my life, you know, and to be standing here at this point. Woo! Thank you. To be standing here at this point with this award, I never thought it could come. But you know what? Like, I just want to say a massive thank you to my parents. I love you, my sister. I love you. Like, you know, I wouldn't be here, like, you know, without you. And I just want to also say, you know, shout out to Gaz, shout out to Basura, shout out to Jason and the PCS.
I'm fucking finished.
That's insane.
And
where's my shout out?
And Manny, let me know when the car's around so I can
go fuck yourself.
Guys, talk to me. Jimmy Kimmel, the host of, this is his fourth time hosting.
You know what I'm Oscars. Pissed about? I fucking missed the first 6 minutes of the...
Okay, yeah, he had a joke for Robert Downey Jr., which was a bit inappropriate, but that's fine.
Yeah, it was a bit too much of that.
And he didn't react to it, I saw the highlight. He didn't react to it, and then he said a second joke, and then by that point, he's pissed.
Yeah, so, Danny were happy still.
So he was like, yeah, I'm not giving you nothing.
And then obviously the Madam Web jokes, which we loved. Talk to me about your thoughts on Jimmy Kimmel as a host. This is his fourth time hosting the awards. I think he did a good job.
Yeah,
I was impressed. I think that show just needed someone that knew their role. It's not really about you. I'll make the odd joke here.
Safe.
Yeah.
Safe hands.
Tony Cruz. Just
safe hands. Now, Tony Cruz is a pingers though.
He's a pingers sometimes, yes.
He's a pingers. Endo, safe.
Endo, I know, safe.
Yeah, safe. I'll lock things down, keep it safe.
Yes, just
little. Jimmy Kimmel, thoughts?
Yeah, I thought he did a good job. Mm-hmm. A lot of the joke that he did was quite funny.
Yeah.
I seen a few people being quite offended at some of the stuff that he said. I didn't really catch anything brazy. I don't feel like he said anything brazy.
Except from the Downey thing.
Even that, I can't lie, even that, I didn't think it was brazy.
No. But the joke would have only been funny if Downey reacted. Downey was like, ha, ha, ha.
I think after the way he reacted, he should have just stopped and then moved on. He shouldn't double down. I think that was just a bit...
He had an Emma Stone joke, which
She called him a prick.
Yeah, well, lip reading and that. But yeah, it seemed like she said something, which didn't go down too well. But I think generally speaking, and I know not everybody is a fan of Jimmy Kimmel style as a host in terms of his show, or just generally speaking, but I think for the show, nice safe hands, very competent as a host, and did a good job overall. I was quite impressed with his hosting. So, any other?
He was cool.
Yeah.
I really want to see... do you know what? I don't know his name, so I'm just going to skip.
Wait, okay, cool. We'll start off with segment one, which is going to be the major categories in our view anyway. Best Picture was the last one to get called up, but we'll start with the Best Picture. The nominees for Best Picture were American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall. Watch that Friday. Wow. It's a serious film, Huss. It's a serious film.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a serious film. Barbie, The Holdovers, love that film anyway, personally, although the... Yeah, anyway, we'll move on. Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. The winner was obviously Oppenheimer. Talk to me about your thoughts about Oppenheimer winning Best Picture for 2024 Oscars. Any surprises, I guess?
Not in the slightest. I think there was like a few that potentially could have won it. But I feel like...
Go on, talk to us.
If I'm talking about, not in my own personal view, but like what it was either going to be Oppenheimer, Poor Things,
or Anatomy.
No, Anatomy was never going to win it.
Really, they had like four
I don't think it would win Best Picture, though, no.
Yeah, Anatomy was never going to win Best Picture. It was literally Oppenheimer was the obvious one, then Poor Things probably second. And that's it, really. I don't think anyone else...
Past Lives was like an underdog, though.
Past Lives was a flipping amazing film, but that was never going to win it. It didn't get that many...
It got three nominations, right? We'll get there.
It got nomination for Best Picture.
Adaptation, right? Adaptation? Or original?
I think it got directing... I might be wrong.
There was a few.
But it wasn't that many. Like, none of the actors got nominated. Yeah, there weren't that many, unfortunately. Yeah.
Greta Lee acted better in Past Lives than she did in that show, The Morning Show.
Yeah, but she was good in The Morning Show, no?
It's decent. Yeah. It's decent.
I feel like Greta Lee should have got nominated for Best Actress ahead of Annette Bening.
Really?
100%.
Well, Annette Fita... Bening from The Color Purple.
No, she's in Nyad, right?
Nyad.
Oh yeah.
With Jodie Foster. Jodie Foster's so cold, man. Jodie
Foster got.
You see her, by the way? She's gasped, bro.
We'll talk, man. Because
yeah, we'll get to it. But yeah, so Best Picture. No surprises for me.
Okay.
Oppenheimer was
the choice. It just had to be.
And nothing for you guys would have come close to Oppenheimer.
Nah. Even bro, like I said, we've seen there were 7 nominations there.
10.
10? I think we've seen at least 7 of those films. You know what I'm saying?
He's seen all of them. I've seen none of them.
I've seen 7.
I think the only one I didn't see was The Zone of Interest, and that's because he put me off.
I haven't seen Zone of Interest.
I definitely think you should watch it, though.
I haven't seen The Zone of Interest and Anatomy of a Fall.
You should definitely watch
Anatomy of a Fall. I'll watch those two. But yeah, let's just... So from what I've seen, I think it was...
Let's do a task. Let's rank the best pictures for a post-credit scene task. Let's rank the best pictures. What would be 10th? Manny,
Maestro.
You can lead on that one. Maestro is the worst film of the lot.
1,000%. It's not even
close. I hate Maestro, you know.
It's 1,000% the worst film of the lot. Like, I don't think it's close.
Okay. I'm not mad at you. I'm just asking the questions, brother.
I'm just so expressive.
But I do want to say that I was definitely in a bad mood when
I don't know if it speaks...
The phone put you in a bad mood.
I don't know if it speaks to my character. I just didn't mind it.
He was overacting. Bradley Cooper was overacting.
Okay. No, but yeah, that was Oscar bait.
Okay.
Remember I was talking about Oscar bait?
Yeah.
This is Oscar bait.
Yeah, no, he...
Don't tell me okay, that Colin, Oppenheimer is Oscar bait. Sorry, bruv.
No, this is... Boo, even it being like it being shot in that fucking in the black aspect white. Of racial
the ratio.
And black and white, it's just Oscar bait. Everything you're doing, but like he's just overacting. Like he just, but every time I see his fucking wrinkle here, it pisses me off. Why is he doing this?
Kerry Mulligan's called that.
Yeah, let me say it wasn't a bad film. Like
it's just meh.
Yeah, I think for what he was trying to do. It was awful. But yeah, it's definitely the worst.
I think it's because he tried to do a lot to get the
yeah, man. Tell a story. Make a film. Don't go for an award. That's what it felt like to me when I was watching
He wrote it, right?
He wrote it, directed, started it. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, cool.
So if that's...
I'm good with that.
If that's 10th, what have we got in 9th?
No, Zone of Interest.
I haven't seen Zone of Interest. Have you?
No, so we'll happily go with that. Left over them, we've got The American Fiction, not The American Fiction, American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, and Poor Things. What do we have 8th?
Barbie.
No,
Poor Things is up top 3. Barbie.
He's going to disagree. This is where it's going to be interesting.
But it's Barbie.
Barbie, yeah.
Poor Things is top 5.
I'm happy to put Barbie 8th.
Okay.
I'm happy to do that.
I think we've been doing Barbie, you know. I rewatched it. Yeah, Barbie's good.
No, Barbie is a good film.
Solid film.
Barbie's a good film, but the others are better films.
Would you even have Barbie over Ironclaw?
There's no way you're putting Barbie over Ironclaw.
Really, brother?
Yeah, Ironclaw was good. It just wasn't.
You're putting Barbie over Ironclaw.
Did you notice that I never spoke about Ironclaw afterwards?
I love that film.
It was good film. Good film. I think
7.5 out of 10.
The way everybody hyped it, I think. But it was a solid 7-1. 7-2.
What's Barbie?
I gave Barbie a 7.5.
Okay, it's fine.
But I'm just telling you what I gave.
Because I realised there's no point me telling you I disagree when you know I disagree, so it's pointless.
No, it's calm. That's the whole point.
No, but I've already slated Barbie, so I don't want to come across as one of those guys. I'm just going to leave it as it is, innit?
So you hate women? Yeah?
Yes, naturally.
So Bobby number 8.
Bobby number 8, fine.
7.
You're not going to disagree with me. My 7th will be American Fiction.
Nah, if I don't get Bobby, he's not getting that.
It's a voting thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's calm. He's not getting that though. I don't want to put Past Lives there.
Yeah, because Past Lives is a better film.
No, I'm not saying over Thingy. Don't do that.
It might have to be a 7.
Who?
American Fiction. If I look at the list of the films.
Where are we at?
We're at 7, I believe. What's here? The Best Picture.
Oh, sorry.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, we've done.
I am going with Killers of the Flower Moon.
Nah, I can't do that. Personally, I can't. I can't do that. I get what I know you don't like Killers of the Flower Moon like you used to.
Thank you.
But I can't do that. I can't.
I think Killers is better than...
Killers is better. Killers might be 6 or 5.
How
fifth.
Much better?
Not much.
Not much.
As in like next place better?
Next place better, yeah.
If it's next place, I'll take it.
So 7...
7
American Fiction. Shout out to Cole Jefferson, by the way. We'll speak about that in a second.
Yeah, we have to. 6 Killers.
6 Killers.
5.
Okay.
I know this is not going to go at 5. anything that smacks it, by the way.
He's going to say Oppenheimer.
I'm not. By the way, this was my bottom 5. Like, the 5 that we did was my bottom 5 when I done my top 10. My number 5, and I remember saying this, I feel like, it's so weird putting it here, but it makes sense. The Holdovers.
Nah, I'm not giving that, man. I'm sorry.
So Leftover is Anatomy of a Fall.
Mm-hmm.
The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon.
No, Killers is 6.
Killers is 6, sorry. So Past Lives, Poor Things, and Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. Cool. 5th, the Poor Holdovers.
Poor Things.
I might go Poor Things, you know. But the thing is, Emma Stone's performance was so cold. So it's like...
How is Poor Things above American Fiction?
It's a better film.
It's not a better film.
Why is it better? Quickly, let's do this. Quickly, don't...
Why
is American Fiction better?
It's just for me, it's a better told story. I think the story is just it's just got a little bit more layers, whereas I think Poor Things tries to have layers. That's
so you think it's a pretentious thing?
A little bit, yeah.
Manny,
that's crazy.
Manny, come on.
I think American Fiction tries to cover 3 important storylines, but it does it in a very surface level way, which eventually feels like we didn't get enough out of the film.
The irony of it. That's the literal irony of it. But the whole point was that we don't get enough out of black stories. So the way that you left it and thought that you didn't get enough out of
black stories.
Yeah.
The whole point. I don't think you meant it literally like that, as in, because he's manipulated.
I'm not manipulating. I'm literally repeating what he said.
I know, but
that's not manipulation.
My words, man.
I repeat word for word what he said.
Yeah, but I can repeat anything that you say and make it sound crazy.
You could have presented your words better.
Exactly.
But I'm asking a question. So, okay, what do you mean? The irony is that the film was to get the most out of black.
As in, because he was a journalist, okay, that was writing about real, well, what he considered as like real black stories, history, and that kind of stuff, okay. But nobody was willing to consume that. So they're telling these very surface level stories of, you know, black deaths and this and that, like the usual stuff, okay.
And you think the point of the film was to tell surface level in the storytelling?
I think it was supposed to be a parallel story, and I think that's exactly why right at the end he ends up selling the movie rights to Thingy, because at the end of the day, he in order to do something, he has to tell an ironic surface level story in order to
so he fun. Did yeah he did
as yeah so, so American but, Fiction
but he did but the story that he told was everything that we just watched. No, so but isn't that the same thing?
No, but American Fiction itself, the film, was very surface level, and you think that was the point, that was fine with it. The writing in American Fiction was surface level.
I think the issue with American Fiction, from my perspective, which you kind of touched on, is the biggest issue is, okay, put it this way, the best thing going for the film is the satire and the humor, right? Okay. But I think that also detracts from the point of what the film's trying to do, as in it's trying to tell you about how black writers and black creators are either forced to or choose to tell particular types of stories because they know those stories are likely to get publicized, get published, to get the deals.
Yeah.
But I think the satire almost doesn't allow the film to have a deeper dive into that particular theme. So what's the point of telling us about black creators struggling to find a route into the industry if you're not going to tell us about the ramifications of that? Mm. So how that impacts the black writers, the community, how we're perceived, etc. I don't think the film delved into that enough. But for me, I understood and took away from the fact that the satire was the best part of the film for me. So I was kind of okay with that. And I also agree with Manny's point. He spoke about not exploring some of the some of like the more personal habits of the family. So, for example, Sterling K. Brown's character, we got a good glimpse into. I think he was actually the best character in the film, but I don't think the film delved enough into the family dynamics. I think it was very surface level on the family dynamics aspect.
Could have got deeper for sure, but it was deep though.
Deep isn't a word I would use for American fiction. It's a good film. I like
it's a good film. I like an American.
I like American.
And I said like, my issue is that it didn't go deep enough.
So that's seventh. Cool. Sixth is
Killers.
Fifth is Poor Things.
But my struggle is Emma Stone was amazing.
Shout out to Emma Stone.
She was incredible.
Incredible.
She probably had the best acting performance.
Still fifth. The one film that I would swap it out for, it's up to you guys.
Killers.
I haven't seen it.
Oh.
Wait. Killers is sixth. Nah, that's
done.
Don't do that. got me shook. Anatomy of Fall because I haven't seen
it. That's a top three. It's a top three film.
So it's Poor Things.
It's better than Past Lives.
No.
Yeah, but he sacrificed American Fiction.
Thank you.
It's your choice. I've already made my vote.
I'm going Poor Things then.
Okay, then Poor Things is fifth.
So Holdover is fourth.
Yeah, I'm going fourth for Holdover.
I haven't seen Anatomy of the
Fall. I'm going.
So I'm picking Anatomy of the Fall for fourth. I haven't seen it.
It should just be me and Manny to pick for that one. I think that's fair.
Well, then you can just put him top.
No, I don't have it top. I think I have Holdovers over Past Lives. And I get Past Lives.
I get why you put Holdovers.
Yeah, I have Holdovers over it. What do you have?
Holdovers.
Then we go past Lives fourth.
Yeah.
Anatomy.
Wait. Holdovers. So where's Holdovers?
Second. Holdovers is
second. So it's Holdovers, Oppenheimer, and Anatomy.
Top three. That's done.
But I wouldn't put Oppenheimer first.
What would you put first?
Oppenheimer.
Same. Yeah, I got it.
Then Oppenheimer's first.
What would you put first?
Well, with the three that's left, and
Anatomy of a Fall. It's a really fucking good
film. Is that recency bias?
No.
Nah, it's a great film. I questioned him about it twice, actually, to ask him about it. Is it recency bias? He said no.
All right, cool.
So what, Anatomy second?
Hold over third?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a fair trade-off, you know.
That's our list.
Cool.
I'm
not mad at it.
Best director, Christopher Nolan. He's first, right?
First.
His competition was Justin Trait, Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon, who has never won an Oscar, right?
No, it's never, yeah, he's never won one.
Yorgos Laminoff?
Poor Things.
I want to get his name right. Lanthimos. I definitely messed it up. But Poor Things. And then Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. Christopher Nolan took the award.
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about that?
Like, I don't think there's...
I think Scorsese directed better than...
Than Christopher Nolan? Really?
Yeah. The thing...
Yeah, less to work with.
Really?
Yeah. I disagree. It's not...
Really?
It's not much of a difference. And one of the things that I would bring up was the bomb going off. That is one of the best cinematic scenes that I see.
Visually and audio... based as well.
Insanity. That might be the best directed shot in all the films that we've had so far. It's hard. I'm giving it to Nolan.
But you see, like, with Scorsese, yeah, my favourite thing about Killers is just the moments.
Mm.
The individual moments from these unknown-ish. My God, sorry, guys. So the support cast and that kind of stuff, okay, who like had these just wonderful like scenes when you know the scene with Leo in the bedroom and such a powerful scene when Lily was just breathtaking in that scene, and the way it's shot, the way it's visually like shown to us as well, it was fantastic. You know,
I could counter that and say the scene with Emily, which again this delves into the acting, but Emily Blunt in the third act. The way that was captured and heard in her performance within that was unbelievable. That caught me off guard, what Emily Blunt did in that third act. And that was one of my favourite scenes, visually and more so, obviously, her acting from that film. That was sensational.
Mm.
And the way the tension that was built up with the Robert Downey scenes. Oh. In the third act. What's his name again? What's his character's name? Help me.
For that
Strauss.
Strauss, yes.
Oh.
What's mad is that?
I just think he had better actors. He had more established actors to work with. You know, and I think that's what makes Killers so impressive in that sense.
Oh, so we like Killers again. Nice.
I've always liked Killers, and it's still my top five of last year.
What was your top five of last year?
I don't remember. But it was in there somewhere.
Yeah, but oh yeah, because last year isn't the American last year, so yeah, it does. Correct. It isn't the same thing.
But what's crazy is that my favorite directed film was by Sidney Song with Past Lives.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That would have gone best director for me personally.
Yeah, no, visually, there's a lot of like.
I think Past Lives was just. I said this before, innit? That it was like the edit. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's put together, yeah, it's just so wonderful. Like, it's so smart, and I know that the director sat next to him the whole way. Do you know what I'm saying? Just went through it. It just felt so intimate. It was lit. But yeah.
But no qualms with Chris. There's no qualms with Christopher.
No, at all.
And I think a director of his status and gravitas should have. Again, we don't just give awards for giving awards' sake, but I think someone of his status and ability to direct should have an Oscar.
Same with Scorsese.
Same with Scorsese,
he's
bro.
Like 105 years old, bro. He's like 2 foot.
Same with Scorsese, bro.
What's he been? Being 2 foot, got to do anything.
Same with Scorsese, bro. Same with Scorsese, yeah. For real. I'm not mad at that. That's a very good point you made. Interesting. We'll move on. The acting awards. Before we talk about the acting awards, mm-hmm. I want to talk about a decision that they made with this year's award ceremony to give tributes to the nominated actors.
Love it.
Five previous winners of said award. So if someone won Best Actor in the last 5 years, those five actors would come back. I believe that was the case, no?
Only for
two. I want to say no.
It was only for a few. They actually said.
Oh, because sometimes they bought like friends of the
yeah.
Because
yeah.
I know Will Smith won recently.
But he can't come back.
No.
So, I fight that nigga, that's my guys. I don't know why I said that.
That's my guy.
So I don't know if it was the last 5 years, but it's definitely like recent ones, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it was.
No, some of them did have. I think some of the nominations had that.
Yeah, no, I read the bio note, I was watching. Remember when Jonathan Ross, he was like, "Oh, guys, I've just been told that it's not going to be like that for every single award. It'll be for like the next two or three specialized ones and that kind of stuff." By the way, we got to talk about the ITV.
Yes, fine. Yeah, it's on the docket.
Coverage too.
We've done a better job.
How did you feel about the tributes and the concept of giving flowers from sort of, you know, either peers that you respect and have an adulation for, and then them receiving that even if you don't win an award? I think that's an interesting.
I love it because, like, filmmaking or being an actor is a very difficult job. People take weeks, months, sometimes years to put together, create a character and showcase in film for art entertainment. To have like five different people who are up for a nominee and only one of them takes an award, for some of the categories, I could have literally given it to you like three different people. So for them to get the flowers before the winner gets announced. It's
wonderful.
It's gorgeous to see, and it's nice because it's nice to see people get the flowers. Even if you don't win an award, you still deserve some praise and appreciation.
To be here out of all the films in the world, you're here for this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the sixth thing is okay, in the world of social media, that's a clip, you know? That's something that you can keep from these massively established actors who have felt the way that you felt.
And the fact is, your peers.
Yeah.
Someone that's also has either similar skill set or understands the dedication and craft that goes into making a film, into acting, into being involved
and even
in a film.
The importance of coming out of a character. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we're learning that now with like a lot of these actors, you know, if you're going through like, you know, mental and it's just like there's a, like, it's not just about immersing yourself in it, it's about, you know, getting yourself out of it as well, you know what I mean? Just, you know, come back into like normal life. So even the stuff that these actors have to do, you know, a lot of these stories are super tragic and super deep and super dark, and to get our mindset and then come out of it and then be pretty and lose might be tough. But
I thought it was beautiful. Loved it. I think it's great to see actors get their flowers from peers. One thing I would say would have been cool, and I think this is more for, this would prolong the ceremony, so it's more me being picky. It would have been cool for viewers to have seen a specific clip, let's say, from the holdovers, right?
Mm.
Where I get to see Dave.
They did.
No, No, they did it. They didn't do it for the...
For the best actors, best actress.
They did it for like specific films. So Past Lives got that, or Barbie might have got a scene. Because I'm interested.
Because I think they did, guys. I just think it was part of a live show. So we didn't see it.
No, I don't think they did it.
They were showing clips of the best picture for each film, like randomly.
Throughout the ceremony, yeah.
But before they announced like best actress, best supporting actress, they didn't show the clips of them in the film, like at all. All they did was have the five people come out, give the praise, and then announce the winner.
And I think that would have been just beautiful to actually see Adava and Joy Randolph, like literally as Mary Lamb in The Holdovers.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, Robert Downey Jr. as Strauss in Oppenheimer. But it's a small nitpick, not me, like, you know.
It's also the longest award show of the year, by the way. And they extended it by an hour this year.
Yeah, and it was also hit by a
protest.
Yeah, so I think that prolonged things as well. Okay, acting awards. Best actor in a leading role. This name is going to make me laugh. Bradley Cooper for Maestro. Coleman Domingo, what an actor. What an actor. Whoa. He's a mammoth of a man in terms of his acting. Rustin, Paul Giamatti, The Holdovers. Beautiful actor.
Yes.
Beautiful acting in The Holdovers. Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer. Jeffrey Wright, American Fiction. It's stacked.
Jeffrey Wright deserves to be nominated, doesn't deserve to win, but he deserves to be nominated. And I think that's amazing for his first
lead role.
It's a massive thing.
There was only two contenders for me. Being Killian and Paul.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I think Killian was nailed on. And are we happy with Killian?
I would have been happy. I think my heart was with Paul a little bit more.
Yeah, man.
It's because of the story of the holdover.
Because she won first. Like right at the start,
we'll get to that because their team was so beautiful. Their team was so beautiful.
Just even like
would have been
right.
Yeah. But I'm happy with Killian's win.
No, of course.
I think when you think back to, and again, I won't say it's a recency or the longevity bias of it, but it was a while ago when we watched Oppenheimer. I ain't seen it since, but I do remember the fact he carried. Excuse me again. Forgive me, listeners. But he carried a lot of the scenes. And when I say carried, I don't mean like he was just, it was like he was the best actor in the film. I mean more so from like being involved in like 70 to 75% of the film. And that was one of the most impressive things for me, actually.
It's exactly like what Nolan said.
What was that, sorry?
Exactly what Nolan. He said like for somebody to be in most of the scenes, you know, and still hold it together and not be like the weakest person in the room. It's super impressive.
Super impressive.
It's crazy impressive.
Are we happy with that?
Yeah, for sure. Very much so.
Okay, next. Best actress in a leading role. Annette Bening for Naiad, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Huller, Anatomy of a Fall. Please watch that film.
Watch the film tonight.
Kerry Mulligan, Maestro. She's a superb actress, man. She's so talented. And Emma Stone, Poor Things. Really and truly, this is a two-horse race, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Who?
For Best Actress.
No, I was saying, who do you
think? Lily and Emma.
You know crazy?
But
I understand why Lily didn't get it.
Yeah, well, this was Emma Stone's film.
Yeah.
And it was probably the best performance of the year from an acting perspective, I think. In terms of the type of character, firstly, you have to think about the concept.
Margot Robbie. That's all I'm asking.
Okay, man.
Definitely not.
Hey, respect, though. Respect.
But no.
No, just respect, man.
Not even nominated.
No, I'm not saying she needs to be nominated, but just respect the name.
Would she be nominated?
No. She's unreal woman.
There it is, guys.
For various reasons. For various reasons, she's an unbelievable woman.
Very unbelievable.
Yeah, very unbelievable. Yeah, for me, this was a two-horse race in terms of what we knew was going to happen, in terms of Lily Gladstone and Emma Stone. Sandra Huller, in my opinion, should have been in contention.
Yeah.
But I question, I guess, the...
Marketing?
The marketing, the rollout, the support, the push, the PR that Anatomy of a Fall would have gotten in comparison to Poor Things and in comparison to... Killers of the Flower Moon.
She has my favourite acting scene. Sandra Huller.
I know you're talking about.
In what?
Anatomy of a Fall.
Anatomy of a Fall.
Oh, obviously.
So Emma Stone obviously won the BAFTA. Lily Gladstone won the SAG Award. So it was 50-50 in terms of who was going to win. Emma Stone's reaction, how did you feel about that? When it seemed so authentic. And she's such a lovely woman.
But, yeah, like, when she won it, I wasn't mad. I was like, this is mad sweet. And she made like a joke immediately, which I love.
She's so authentic.
She's like when do you remember when like Jennifer Lawrence had her run where she was just winning everything? Mm. She was just doing everything.
I completely didn't know that she won an Oscar, by the way.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
I don't think Jennifer Lawrence is that great of an actor, you know.
No, okay, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that
I'm not saying that's what you say, but
she was great on TV, as in like in interviews and in like awards. She was very, very vibrant, real and relatable, and she felt like you could have a beer with her, bro. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, like,
she seems a bit jaded now.
Yeah, but Emma Stone just gives me that vibe where she's just one of us. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? And it suits.
And she gave a shout out to all her sort of competitors as well. Filling
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think is super important.
She specifically said that this award's for her. Like, she's sharing it with Lily.
I mean, you're not really nigga, but yeah.
Yeah, but
the sentence. It's a nice thing to say, man.
I also do think if Lily is going to be considered as a leading lady in her film, I think that Divine should have been considered a leading lady in her film. So now I ask you this. If Divine was in that category, would she have won?
No.
But at first...
Wait, she wouldn't have won because you think so? Or I'm saying, do you think the Oscars would have given her that award?
Lily would have won it. But first of all, Lily wasn't...
Out of the three.
Divine is in supporting or
if Divine was in best actress.
Oh, God, no, she's not winning it. Emma Stone would still win. Emma Stone would still win it. But the thing with Lily Gladstone, originally, they were marketing her as a support.
But the push was nice, man. Her PR was pumping up in like the latter half of last year, which I think let's put her in the best actress.
Yeah, but Divine definitely should not be in best actress. Best leading actress, sorry, for the role that she played in the film that she was in.
Okay.
I didn't feel like it was a leading role.
Okay. Do you feel like Lily was?
That was my main question.
Yes, more than
barely if, more.
Barely more. I can fair see it being fit in.
Yeah.
But Divine, I can't see it be fit into you.
Okay, fair enough.
What about Emma Stone's performance for you in Poor Things?
Oh, it was so good, man. Like the range that she had to have to play that character from being essentially a child without any agency,
autonomy,
or knowing anything. And then seeing her develop throughout the film. And the way that a character changes, the way that she talks changes, and the way that you can see her mind processing things.
The dialect coaching she had to do.
Yeah, even though I don't think the accents were that great. it was such a one. It's the best I've seen her perform ever.
And like I've said, like I said this because I think I watched Poor Things first.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, like I said to you guys, the performances were really, really good. I didn't like the writing. That's all it was.
What's your issue with the writing of the film?
I just thought, like I said before, it gave like this very like pretentious type feel of a film.
In terms of the story.
Yeah, and I think if anything, it was a little bit Oscar bait for sure.
Poor Things.
Yeah, man.
Elaborate on that if you can.
It was just it's one of those like kind of typically original 2001 stories, but it's just modernized into this beautiful. Like how can I explain it? Like it's every single theme of it, yeah, kind of like related to everything today, which is great. And I love films like that, right? Okay, love films like that. I just didn't feel like the way that they delivered it, in that whole like emptiness, like format, and that stuff. I thought it was just very pretentious.
Manny, any rebuttal whilst I have another swig of my water drink?
No, I just think it's wrong.
I hear it.
I mean, fair enough. Really got like a tickle in my throat, so apologies to the viewers for hearing
that. Sick as well.
No, it's just like, I think the pepper in my food just stuck in my throat.
Also,
pause.
I'm hoping that I watch it again.
And change your mind.
It's on Disney Plus.
Yeah. I saw. And I just grew with it. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I've done that with
my feeling with, like, of it grew without even watching the film. I just think the more I sat with it, the more I understood what the purpose of the film was, what they were trying to do, the concept of like autonomy in the sort of, in the world, it gave us a look at the world we live in from a child's perspective, from somebody who has a blanket level understanding of what the world is. It gave us an insight into how tapped and how dysfunctional we are as human beings, but also just how it is to be a human being. Like, although we may say some things are dysfunctional and aren't the right way to live life, that's the way it is.
Hell yeah.
And I think that's what was quite interesting about Emma Stone's performance, about the film, about Mark Ruffalo's performance. The creativity and the set design and production was superb.
Yeah, it's made me want to go watch the rest of Yorgos's films. Okay. Just by the way that was directed.
Best supporting actress.
Oh yeah, that was light work. That's the only category that felt like it had one winner.
That it was like a shoo-in, yeah.
Sure. But do you think that's a shoo-in because, and that's not to say this, she doesn't deserve it, but hear me, is that because she's already won the big three awards before, or because we actually believe Davine Joy Randolph as Mary Lamb? It's unbelievable.
Clean Sweep is crazy.
Even if I didn't...
She won the quadruple.
Even if I didn't...
FA Cup, League Cup, Cup.
Know that she won...
Champions League.
Any of the awards previously. Because before she won her first award, actually, no, that's a lie, because I didn't watch it from then. But from when I watched
And Golden Globes.
Yeah, I don't think I would have watched it.
We watched it the day after the Golden Globes.
Yeah, I don't think I watched it right away. But from when I first watched, I knew.
Oh, word.
Because I think from the other was like Jodie Foster.
Yep.
Kerry was leading, innit?
Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks, yep. The Color Purple, America Ferrera, Barbie,
it was there, by the way.
And Jodie Foster.
You don't know what Danielle Brooks was there?
No.
That is brazy.
What, Color Purple?
Yeah.
I thought that she was cold. No, she was cold in Color Purple.
I think that she was actually cold.
She was brazy, bro. But she was superb. She's probably one of the best aspects. Bro, Carmen Domingos.
No, she was the only aspect of that film.
No, Carmen
Domingos as well. What you said was brazy.
He corrected.
But the only reason why I make that judgment, I don't think anybody from The Color Purple should have been in the top five list for best actress.
Daniel Brooks, 100% should.
One more second. Of every film that we've seen in 2023, every single film that we've seen, she makes the top five. She was great. And she was one and a half good parts out of the whole thing, right? But the film was bad.
Okay, the film was bad, but she wasn't.
Okay, cool, but...
Like, Nyad wasn't good, and they got Jodie Foster and Annette Bening in both categories. That is literally one of the least favourite films I watched this year.
But you're making my point.
How am I making your point?
I'm saying it shouldn't be there.
But I'm not saying Jodie Foster shouldn't be there.
Jodie Foster's a fucking... She's serious, man. She's cold.
Yeah.
Like, I thought the film was trash, but Jodie Foster put in a good performance.
Then I know, but was it better than every other woman in any other film?
For Danielle Brooks, I can categorically say that I can't think of a film that I've watched over the past 18 months that's eligible for an Oscar that I can find five women that had a better supporting role than Danielle Brooks. Absolutely not even close.
By the time we have the next episode, I'll find you five.
Find me two right now that's not Divine.
And that's not in the.
That's not in the. Two. Name me one that's not nominated. That should be ahead of Danielle Brooks.
Easy peasy, no squeezy. Give me 1 second.
Just one.
Maybe look at my top half of last year. Give me 1 second.
I think we should just move on.
We shouldn't. We should stay right on this.
But yeah, I feel like after watching The Color Purple, it's like, bro, Danielle Brooks needs she needs to lead a film,
right.
Good film. She
I think that's a nice trajectory. I think that's. I'd like to think that by being up for a support actress award, it could propel her towards that sort of
place
as a potential lead actress. That would be really cool. But for me, I don't know. There's something about Davine, yeah, and her journey from what we've been told from her, and who she is as a woman. Yes, because she's black. Yes, like if anyone wants to try get onto man again. It was amazing to see her up and win. Firstly, clean sweep.
Yeah, clean sweep. Congratulations.
Well, secondly, the holdovers, whatever we think about some of the recent news that's come out about the film. It's a beautiful film.
Yeah.
It's an unbelievable film. And you can tell the relationship between her and Paul Giamatti is so authentic, lovely.
Bro, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. Who the hell is Cesar Dominic? I've never seen him.
He's still pissing you off. Leave Dominic alone, bro.
No, he pissed off Bizzola. Like, I don't see him in anything like at all. Like, at least
maybe it's coming, man. Maybe it's on the way. Pause.
Like I'm talking about like
Vivian Oprah in Rye Lane.
She's not a supporting actress. She's
a lead, isn't she?
I thought I got it.
You couldn't find one
Manny,
person.
I was trying.
Use Manny's favorite film in it.
Yeah.
It's not support, bro. You couldn't find one person.
I was trolling.
Yeah, Davine, unbelievable performance as Mary Lamb. The subtlety and the nuance to her sort of emotional aspect, the balancing act that she found in her acting and in her character, the balancing act of showing empathy and love towards Dominic Sessa's character, yeah, Paul Giamatti's character, whilst the vulnerability of Mary Lamb in terms of what she was going through, yeah, and being the sort of glue between Dominic Sessa's character and Paul Giamatti's character. Unbelievable. Very much deserved. Davine Joy Randolph, we are fans.
Big fans.
We are fans.
Big fans.
Yeah, fans. Shout out to you. And
friend of the show for sure.
And I love that speech. I love Lupita's speech for her as well prior.
That was beautiful. Oh, she also, when she got up to give the award, she gave Lupita a hug, but then everyone else.
Yeah.
And I was like, bro, that's crazy. Like, even like the old white lady, what's her name? The old white lady that
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Nah, she's, I know her, bruv. The girl in the black, she was
I can't recall.
The furry thing and that. I don't know, yeah. But like, she went to give her a hug, yeah. And Devine went, yeah.
I don't think she meant, come on, man.
Devine pretty much. Yeah, chill.
It was lit. And her story about sort of with her mum's glasses, I think it was
her mum's. Yeah, that's
and she ended it with
publicist. The publicist thing was called.
Wait, she goes, it was beautiful to see your vision. Sorry, to see the film through your grandmother's eyes. I was like, wrong.
Yeah, that
wrong. Yeah. I said, whoever wrote that?
Yeah, Boz.
Boz.
Yeah.
Boz. Hella emotional. I got bare emotional.
And Paul Giamatti had a little tear.
Yeah. Bro, perfect.
I can tell it's good vibes.
Bro, he walked it up, yeah?
And then he cut.
Cut. He got to the stairs.
This is you.
I said, boom. Have a dip.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Run it.
Oh, man, so happy.
Great film.
Listen, yeah, I love that film. Supporting actor. I mean, okay, so firstly, we'll read them out and then we'll discuss because I think this is actually a really, really good category.
It is.
Just like the best actress was. So, Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction, superb. Superb. Sterling
K.
Brown. Not saying he should have won, but.
Outstanding.
He was my top three, definitely.
Oh, he was great. Yeah. He was great, and it was great to see him get the flowers from. Was it Mahershala Ali? No, it wasn't. Oh, he gave him his flowers.
Yeah. No, I think Mahershala did
Jeffrey Wright. He did Jeffrey Wright. Oh, no, he did Mark Ruffalo. You're right. I can't recall. But anyway, Sterling K. Brown was superb in American Fiction.
You're fantastic.
Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon. Again, I love De Niro in this film. I love the sinister, but it was very subtle.
Bit overt, yeah.
Yeah,
it was like it wasn't in your face.
And like right,
but you could see man was tapped.
Yeah. But like right at the end where like he was in the prison and still wanted the recognition, even though he doesn't see what he even sees what he does yet, or he's so manipulated in his own life that he doesn't see what he's done.
But he didn't want to be there, though.
Yeah.
I mean, at the award ceremony, he didn't give a shit.
Oh, yeah, nah. Bro,
the men are old, they just want to be at home chilling.
Bro,
Scorsese was all dancing to Barbie and that, to Ken and that.
Bro, he's trying to dance for his fucking
social media.
Oscar, bro. Okay,
and he dance for his Oscar.
I said, bands are making
that. He didn't get it, bro.
I said, dance with your uncle. Like.
You know what I mean? Man's got this. Man's like 2 foot, fam. Love it.
Ryan Gosling for Barbie. He was actually really good in Barbie, to be fair to him.
He was so good, man.
And then Mark.
But Greta should have been.
Ryan Gosling was really good in Barbie, but I think it was my least favourite out of the five there.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a strong cat, bro.
Right.
Mark Ruffalo, Paul Things, he was fucking really good, by the way.
I told you before, he was one of my
he was really good.
Favourite things
was really,
about the film.
I loved this character, not loved this character for who it was, but I loved the sort of the way he was used as a sort of a fence for what Emma Stone's character became. What's her character's name again?
Bella Baxter.
Also, can I say, Mark Ruffalo will go down in his life as one of the most underrated actors of
probably
of,
yeah I can see it
bro, like some of the films that I've seen him in, bro, like I've seen him in deep dramas and that kind of stuff.
Yeah
cold.
I agree with you,
cold. But then I've seen him in like pure comedies. Cold.
But we have no doubts that who was going to win here. Mr. Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
I can't lie, I really enjoyed his speech. He's very chauvinistic. He's up himself, he loves himself. Also very aware of his flaws as a human being, as a person, and uses them as sort of like an attack mechanism to be who he is, the chauvinistic sort of in your face.
I love that, though.
I love it. I think he's just a showman.
He's literally a Tony Stark.
Nah, he's Robert Downey Jr., bro.
Like Tony Stark.
What kind of role would you want to see him in next?
Tony Stark.
Outside of Marvel.
Toast Star.
Okay. I can't lie. Like, I love him as Tony Stark, but I don't need him to ride him.
Toast Star.
That's all.
Superior Iron Man.
It's a good question. Something I'd have to think about.
If I'm asking you really and truly, I would like him to be in a lead film now, and I don't want it to be a comedy. I actually feel like, ironically, he's not fantastic in, like, straight comedies. I'm talking like pure raw
because he's not a comic in that sort of
I think
sort
he's
of
funnier
nature.
In a serious setting.
Yeah, I think
he's a lot more funnier in that setting, or he's a lot more charismatic, sorry.
Yeah, because of the sarcasm and the wit that comes with who he is
exactly.
as a person.
And his delivery is so on point.
Yeah, he's very sharp.
You know what
I'm saying? He's
so, very sharp. So like a role like Sherlock Holmes, where I think he was so sick, you know what I mean? I love to see him in like a role like that. It doesn't have to be like a detective-y sort of thing, but seeing him in a role where maybe he can be a little more mobile.
Got you.
No, I'm with you. We'll move on to segment three and we'll try and fly through these because time is ticking.
Time is ticking.
Best original screenplay.
Anatomy of a Fall won, though, right?
So the winner was Anatomy of a Fall. It was up against The Holdovers, which I was it's kind of gripping at my heart. Maestro, May December, and Past Lives. Anatomy of a Fall won for its original storytelling and dialogue.
But best written film I watched.
Really cute, by the way, how they were so excited to accept the award.
Oh, yeah.
You know I mean? That was really nice.
Ooh, Anatomy of a Fall?
Yeah.
Did you hear the song? Oh. You don't get the reference, man.
Oh, so,
P.I.M.P.
Yeah.
What's the film?
Bro, I sat there, yeah? I swear to God, and I said, why did I play 50 Cent for?
Bro,
what's
the film? Watch the film.
What's the film?
Bro, it was so bad.
It's the, for me personally, the best film that I watched.
Manny, let's have a task.
Yeah.
We're going to sell this film to Huss without spoiling it.
Okay.
In 2 minutes between us.
Okay.
You go first.
Me.
Sure. Okay. The film is about.
By the way, this is like us earning a clip as well.
Yeah. This film, Anatomy of Fall, stars Sandra Hüller, who plays a character called Sandra.
Yeah.
The film starts off with her having somebody come over to interview her because she's a writer.
Dope.
And then PAMP plays in the background very loudly.
14 shoes. All right.
Very loudly. And obviously, it's played by her husband's playing music upstairs. It becomes an issue. They can't do the interview anymore. The woman leaves. They have a son that's partially blind. He leaves with a dog. When he comes back, he sees his dad dead on the floor. That's how the film starts. And then it becomes a courtroom drama because she's accused of killing him. So now the whole film is looking into whether was it suicide, was it an accident, or did she murder him?
Because obviously she's mad that he was playing music with an agenda.
We don't know that, bro.
Exactly, yeah. No,
so
no,
the beautiful thing about this film, a great intro for Manny, can I just say, is the ambiguity.
I don't want to add one thing. Sorry.
Ooh,
sorry
shit,
one thing. One thing that is mentioned near the beginning of the film is that the main character, because she's a writer, she loves mixing fiction with facts to tell a story.
So
I feel like that's like the theme throughout the whole film. Sorry, but yeah.
Oh, good. I love the ambiguity of the film throughout. Mm-hmm. So we're given bits of information to tell us who these characters could be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even who they are. It's like we're given certain bits of information, but we don't know if that's actually truth or not.
Yeah, yeah. What is the possibility here? Yeah,
The courtroom scenes in this film were of such a high level. The intensity of the film of those scenes due to the quality of the acting from the cast. The particular barrister in the red.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Oh, performance. Acting.
Unbelievable, bro.
Everyone was acting. The dog was acting.
The dog was great.
The dog was
there yesterday. The dog was at the awards.
Yeah.
Oh.
When I tell you the dog was acting, the dog was acting.
The dog was actually acting.
This is not a joke. The dog was acting.
Sandra Hüller has a scene in the sort of second act, I believe it's the back end of the second act. Maybe it might even be the start of the third. Forgive my memory. One of the most, like, the way the tension built in this scene, like subtly through her characters, like through who her character was, like it slowly but surely built into a full-blown argument between a man and his wife.
Yeah.
But like, it wasn't like, they're just arguing. And the subtle thing about her character was she even tried to pacify him at one point. She was like, drink some wine.
Wine, I love you.
And next thing you know, it's
gaslighting. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It's absolutely, but it's a very good film. And the last thing I will say.
Did you watch one?
I watched cinema.
Oh, cool.
You can still find it in some cinemas now, but it'll be on streaming.
And the last thing I will say is the use of the camera for some of those courtroom scenes, yeah, to give you the perspective of particular characters, whether it's a close up or whether it's like sort of from the character's like perspective.
Top tier. Nice. Cool. I'll watch this year. I mean, this week.
But yeah, deserved.
Yeah.
Best adapted screenplay. The nominees were American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
I was kind of upset that Till wasn't in there.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Interesting.
Well, it's still based off a film.
It's an adapted story, isn't it? So it's based off like... I believe the category of adapted is if it's based off a book...
A source material.
Yeah, or which Tilt is based off articles and journalistic factors and that kind of stuff.
That wouldn't classify as well.
But it doesn't classify as a biopic either. So and it's not an original screenplay. So what would it be?
It'll be a biopic.
But it's not a biopic.
But
I don't think legally it can be classified as a biopic because it's a rendition of it.
Fair, but it definitely wouldn't be adapted screenplay because it has to be adapted from a source material.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a specific source material it was adapted from.
But the winner was American Fiction, which I'm not unhappy about. This was obviously great for Jeffrey Wright, even though it's not his award. I think it's great for him just to be involved in a film that gets recognised like that.
And he still gets a trophy, by the way, I found out.
Nice.
Just winning?
Just being part of the film.
Okay.
And so do like everyone else. So like, if you're like a producer, then you've won an Oscar.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool.
I know the best picture goes to the producers.
Yeah. That's sick though.
But just bear with me. I want to fact check something. I just wanted to shout out Cole Jefferson. This was his directorial debut, which I think is very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
He has worked on Succession, which is obviously one of mine and Manny's favourite shows.
So,
as an additional crew, he's been a writer on The Watchmen as well, which is one of HBO's like flagship, much adored shows from the 2010s. He had a very impressive speech where, I won't read it verbatim, but he spoke about the need for the diversity in films. Obviously, his film is about diversity, right? About giving opportunities to different types of people, different types of writers, and different types of stories. He says 200 million movies are also a risk, and it doesn't always work out. Yeah. But you take the risk anyway. Instead of making $200 million film, try making 20 $10 million films. And I think that's a very important point.
Yeah.
When we look at the films that we adored that have come out to us maybe in the UK this year, but were out in America last year, like Anatomy of a Fall, I'm going to assume...
6 million.
There we go. So... And I think he makes a very valid point about, you know, not every film needs to be a blockbuster. Perfectly said.
It was actually a very good speech.
And a very valid... Oh, he was very, very well spoken.
He walks better with, though.
Oh, okay.
Did you see his walk?
No. I did see it.
When he got up and he's walking like this, bro, it was better with. And then he saw, Riz Ahmed? I don't know what relationship they have. But then he was like, yeah. And I gave him like the most South London like high five I've seen in my life, and then he saw someone else. I was like, yeah, cool.
He said, it's more of a plea to acknowledge and recognise that there are so many people out there who want an opportunity that I was given, and I think that's it's great for him to win an award and also recognise the beauty of the opportunity that he was given. So,
yeah. When you have films like Anatomy of a Fall, that was 6 million. Obviously, American Fiction was less than 10 million. You got Past Lives, that was 12 million. And then you look,
even looking at previous films like Everything Everywhere or All at Once,
that was quite expensive. So
I thought it was like 10 mil,
like 38.
Oh, okay. Parasite,
I don't know what Parasite was, but yeah. When you look at films like John Carter, that was 260 mil, Love of Thunder, 250,
John Wick.
But John Wick was fucking brazy.
Yeah, it was a great film.
Brazy. Yeah, man, there needs to be better allocation to funds and resources because there's a lot of filmmakers and actors and that can produce great films. Just stop wasting money. But yeah.
Yeah, their money to waste, I guess. But yeah, I'd fully adhere to your point all the same. Best costume was Poor Things. No issue with that, from my opinion. Best film editing went to Oppenheimer. Best makeup and hairstyling went to Poor Things again. Poor Things had a really like huge sweep up, bro.
Yeah.
Best production design, guess what? Poor Things. The guy that did the score for Oppenheimer, Ludwig Göransson, had an interesting journey. He's a Swedish composer, producer, conductor. He worked on an American TV show called The Community.
Dope.
And doing so, he formed a relationship with Donald Glover, otherwise known as Childish Gambino. By doing so, Childish Gambino then introduced him to Ryan Coogler, and from working with Ryan Coogler, he worked on Black Panther, he worked on Creed, and then obviously went on to do Oppenheimer after that. So sort of got his adulation and his rise through working with the likes of Childish Gambino and Ryan Coogler.
Nice.
It's nice to see that black people are giving white people opportunities.
Fair enough.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So best sound went to Zone of Interest, which, Manny, any thoughts? No,
I hear it.
Best visual effects went to Godzilla Minus One.
Oh, do you know I was so happy when that happened? Yeah, like, can I just say? I don't think it was the best visual.
It was up against The Creator, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. By the way, Mission Impossible, underrated film. Oh. Came out at the wrong time. Came out at the wrong time of the year.
It did. But can I just say, all those films had better special effects.
The Creator?
Than Godzilla, but I don't think they did. I'm sorry.
Okay. I haven't seen this one. I'm just asking.
I'm sorry. Godzilla, I said to guys, one of my favorite things about it was that it looked cheap. Like, it actually looked like one of those old school, like, Tokyo Godzilla films. Like, Godzilla didn't even look that wavy. You know what I mean? But I just loved it. I just loved, like, the feel of it. So for it to get best visual effects is crazy to me. But fantastic film. Fantastic film. Fair. Absolutely fantastic film.
Yeah. Just to correct myself, actually, I had a... No, did I mention... Did I say... I did say score, right? I did.
Yeah, I did.
Anything of interest? Best visual effects, as we mentioned, went to... Godzilla One. Best animated feature film.
Oh, my God. You see, Thingy got pissed about that.
Shameik Moore. Yeah.
What did he say?
He said robbed.
Robbed, and then he was like...
It was a typo. So he spelt robbed wrong, and then he did it again and said robbed.
And said robbed.
Yeah,
I mean, was it a robbery?
And then he made like a little comment. I mean, he was like, "It's calm, like, you know, we're not losers because we've impacted millions and blah blah blah."
Definitely wasn't a robbery.
Best animated feature film.
Which what?
The Boy and the Heron.
Oh yeah, it's fucking breathtaking. Okay. It's literally breathtaking. I watched it. Crazy, but it was breathtaking. It was actually so good. But
was she breathtaking? Let's move on. Who's Society Wild?
What's the first letter of her first name?
And then what I was thinking is,
A.
But anyways.
Again, A.
But let's continue.
I don't even know that is, but anyway. Shout out to The Boy and Heron. Best documentary feature film went to 20 Days in Maripol.
I haven't seen that. I actually want to see that now.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to see that.
And best documentary short film went to The Last Repair Shop, which I think will be good things for us to sort of deep dive into over the next couple of weeks and months.
Yes, sir.
That is the 2024.
No, you missed one thing.
What did I miss?
John from fucking Ross. I want to talk about ITV's coverage.
Okay. Yeah, I ain't mad at you, bro.
What did you guys think about it?
It
was awful.
Let me read
everything an American would think of how we would present stuff like this.
There was one guy that was just chatting bears.
The guy, the Mitchell's guy.
Yeah,
he was chatting so.
I actually didn't like it.
The fact that I could see his mic was pissing me off too.
Because every time Jennifer asked us a question, like, he was like the first person to jump and just wouldn't let other people.
And he leaned involved. In. Like, he do this. You know what I'm saying?
I was like, stop self-imposing yourself so much, bro.
He was, man, and it's just.
It wasn't great, bro. We could have done a better job.
1,000%. ITV, shout us. I don't know what's going on. Okay? Listen, I know you need big names. Listen, we can do it.
Now, shout out Yinka, though. Beautiful Nigerian man.
Yinka was cool.
No,
was
just cool. I said beautiful Nigerian man. That's what it is.
Yeah. Shout out Yinka. All that. She was cool.
Tats on all.
And then they were playing that live bingo thing. Tried to make it, like, interactive. I actually even think Jonathan Ross was off his game.
He was fine.
But he wasn't Jonathan Ross from the Jonathan Ross show.
Because I think Graham Norton would be better.
Graham Norton is a fucking host, bro.
He's an elite host.
Hey, yo.
Hey, pick up your wood, fam.
The fact you both went there right away.
Yeah, we couldn't be on ITV. There's no way. You need bare PR training. But I think the show itself was of such a mediocre standard.
So cool.
To my knowledge, there was one actor there. The guy in the... I should know his name because I've seen him in quite a lot of shows. In The Red. Good actor, by the way.
Yeah. I liked his contribution when he contributed.
Yeah.
My man kept talking so much that he barely spoke.
And when he's... We need to find out this guy's name, yeah. But when he kept talking, he wasn't saying anything important at all. He was just making a stupid joke, right? And I understand this for them to entertain us and stuff.
But also, they spent half
of it complaining about the actual war show.
ITV Oscars coverage secures viewers and criticism. There was mixed reception to the first night of the Academy coverage on ITV, which secured the UK broadcast rights after 2 decades of Oscars being aired pay-per-view on Sky. Viewers peaked at 1.1 million and averaged 63,000 for the overnight broadcast, which began at 10:15. Interesting. Hosted by Jonathan Ross. Who was he joined by? He was joined by Cold Feet's Faye Ripley, comedian Doc Brown. I guess Doc Brown is the guy you guys are talking about.
He's a cousin.
Yeah, naturally. The Hobbit actor Richard Armitage and radio presenter Yinka Bokini. Yeah, Yinka Bokini. They struggled to pronounce Davon Joy Randolph's name, which viewers were very pissed off about.
I fully watched that as well. And like, they had to look at the producers like four times. That was mad. I fully saw it as well. I fully saw it live.
Although all panelists did appear to have watched the key films. Thank you. That's great to know. Viewers were left unimpressed by their insights as well as their failures to pronounce names such as
Davon. It was so obvious that some of the films that didn't watch. Like, the way they were. Yeah, you didn't watch that.
Go on. Give me an example.
I actually can't remember because I was so.
He was capping about the holdovers, though.
Yeah. And
he said the holdovers was a comedic film. I was like, no, it's not. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and Poor Things. I don't think there's somebody in that panel. I don't say who, but they definitely didn't watch Poor Things because they made a comment. I also.
The woman?
I don't know. But they made a comment about. It was saying they were like, "Oh,
I know you're talking about." Why'd you do that?
You know what? I was not gonna say the comment because if I said the comment, people gonna know who it was.
No. You started.
Yeah, go on.
Nah, let me land. You don't need the industry thing. You might see a carpet.
Coward, bro.
Who's her? I said her. Could be he. All right, guys, that's been the Post podcast. Okay, off camera. I'll tell you off camera.
I'll just get kissed. Cut off.
No, you won't. That is so funny.
I remember. Yeah. She ain't seeing this.
Yeah, bro, it's like, come on. You said worse things.
She ain't seeing this.
Cool. I'll tell you off camera. All right, guys, this has been the Postcards Podcast. I've been Gaz. It's been a great time talking to you about the Oscars 2024. Please make sure you like, comment, subscribe. You're all friends of the show. This has been
Manny.
This has been
Gaz.
No, see you after this. Hello?
No.
He doesn't want to be you.
And back to guys for the actual outro.
For you all, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Back to me for the outro. And yeah, thank you, guys.
No, guys, listen. We are your lovers of film and TV. Make sure you make this your home for film and TV. We are continuing to learn, grow, develop, and we love this space, man. We want this space to be ours, not just ours, but, you know, with the people. That's why we do this.
We'll see you next year, man.
So next year we want to be at all the award ceremonies, but most importantly, I think we want to be watching as many films and TV as possible. Yeah. I think that's what we're starting to do. Compare it to when we started this 2-3 years ago, we're watching much more shit than we used to.
Yeah,
but we're looking at it differently as well. I think that's a very important aspect of what we're trying to do.
Oh, the variety of what we're watching now is incredible.
Yeah, especially when you added whoever you added to the podcast. So yeah, that helps as well.
Yeah.
Also, let us know if you will come watch us if you host a award ceremony. I think that'd be nice to do.
I told you guys before.
Oh, like
we should do a PCS award ceremony for films for UK film and TV. That'll be a dream of mine. That'll be a dream of mine. Like our like own one, recognizing like really like amazing directors, producers, writers.
I think that would require us to consider the elevation of what we're watching and our access to that as well, because this isn't just about, unless we're invited to X, Y, and Z, and we don't also have the time to watch everything, it's going to be practically impossible.
Correct.
Whereas if we're invited to things, for example, there's a series I watched recently, Kin, had no idea about it. And again, it's a fucking really good series, by the way. Had no idea about it until I saw it on TikTok. If we get invited to these things, it completely changes your outlook in it, because you're like, oh, it's an invite, we'll go and watch it. We can then tell people if it's good or not.
Yeah. Correct.
So I think also access to opportunity, which we're getting, but I guess looking to continue to elevate.
Yeah, no, shout out to all of the agencies that are like helping us out and that kind of stuff and keeping us in mind. But yeah, we should.
The Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14 HQ original, lovers of film and TV. I have to thank Manny and Huss for today. It's been a good podcast as per usual.
Yes, sir.
We hope you enjoyed the audio experience. Make sure you like, share, subscribe. Make sure you check us out on TikTok. Content is crazy, blood. It's crazy. Check us out on IG as well. YouTube, we're back soon. Don't watch that. Blame Kai on that. It's his fault.
It's coming.
But it's your boys over and out. Boom, boom, boom.
Hi, I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene.